Scripture reading this morning will be from Revelations 19, verses 1 through 6. Revelations 19, 1 through 6. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servant shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Thank you, Rob, for that reading, and thank you for being here this morning. It's so glad to have you here with us. We have a lot of guests with us, and we're so thankful for your presence that you've decided on such a day as today, when there's so many other things you can be doing, that you came and decided to be with us here. And we're grateful for that. It's an encouragement to us. We hope that you found the things that you're doing to be in accordance with God's will. You know, it's been a great week. It's been a fantastic week, and it's good to be with my brethren. And we look forward to our discussion together this morning as we study from the Word of God. Let me begin by asking you a simple question. What should the church look like? Now, understand the parameters of that question for just a moment. When I ask what should the church look like, I'm not asking what should its meeting house look like. The building it comes together and assembles in. That's not what we're talking about. When I ask what should the church look like, I'm not asking you to draw me a diagram of the structure and organization of the church with Jesus as its head and the elders at each local body and deacons and teachers and preachers. And I don't want all that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about the day-to-day operations of the church. If we were to take just the question of what should the local body be like, what would that be? Earlier this week, I was talking to a brother in Christ who I love dearly. And we were having a conversation about some things. And in the course of that conversation, he made a statement that was profound to me. I don't know that he remembers making it. Maybe he does. He has a great heart. He's the kind of guy that thinks that way. But he said in the context of our discussion, he used the phrase, a church that looks like heaven. And that struck me so much, I almost just completely disengaged from our conversation because my mind started racing. A church that looks like heaven. What would that look like? You ever thought about that? If we were a church that looks like heaven, what would that be? You know, we talk sometimes when we like something really, really a whole lot, we'll say, well, it's like heaven. And I gotta tell you, I don't know that I like that because sometimes it trivializes heaven. You know, when I ask somebody, they eat a nice piece of German chocolate, and I go, what does that taste like? And they go, it's like heaven. Boy, I hope heaven's a lot better than chocolate. When somebody goes on vacation somewhere, and it's really pretty and tropical, or maybe they like going to the cold parts and snow, and that's what they, and you say, well, what was your vacation like? Did you like it? Oh, it was heaven on earth. I hope heaven's a lot better than some vacation somewhere. When you think about heaven on earth, we ought to think about the church. We get so caught up on the descriptors in Revelation 21 and 22, and they're beautiful. The imagery is outstanding. I mean, when you think about a city that is that big, that large, and has the pure gold and all of the things that it has, and the crystals and the amethyst and the jasper and the names that are engraved upon the foundations and the great gates made of pearl, and the fact that the cities are opened and the river of life going through the middle of the streets and the tree of life and the throne, and we think of all of that. It's great imagery, but friends, let me tell you, one of the great things about heaven is that God will be there and His people will be there. And the reality is that this morning we are here, His people, and God is with us. In that very real sense, when we assemble together, it's like heaven. I think that's part of what the Hebrew writer was saying in Hebrews 10. When he said there, you know, stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know why this is supposed to encourage us as we see the day of judgment coming? Because it's like heaven. Because it's like heaven. Now, can I tell you, this is one of those sermons where I don't want you to go, oh, that's right, if that guy over there on that side of the building would do that, we'd be a lot better off. We don't want any of that. This is one of those evaluating sermons. It's not meant to be negative. It's not intended to be positive. It's intended to be right. And for us to take it and apply it to ourselves. And there's so many things that I could talk about as that the impact of this idea of the church that looks like heaven. But the reality is I want to focus on five of them with you together this morning. The first of those is, if the church is like heaven, then God's will always be done. God's will would always be done. Now, the question is, do churches, in a very loose application, do churches today always follow God's will? That word always is pretty strong. I have to tell you, they don't. In fact, I would tell you the reason why we have so many denominations today is because at different times, churches decided to do something other than God's will. And that we are not as united as Jesus prayed that we would be in John 17. That if all the disciples who claimed to follow Christ were one as God and the Father is one, that just wouldn't happen, would it? That's just the reality. But historically what we see is that churches have made determinations to do other things. They chose to follow their own desires rather than God's. They chose to make decisions based on what makes me feel good rather than what God wants in service and worship to Him. They've chose to do what I want rather than what God wants. They've not followed His will. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 writes something interesting there. He tells Timothy that the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I want you to notice why that is. The time is coming when they will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. Why is it that Paul says people will heap up teachers to